Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, if you'll turn there with me. The golden rule. This is the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, the word therefore tells us that what has been stated up to this point, this is the conclusion of the matter. Therefore, because all these other things have been said, therefore. Now, as believers, we would have men to do to us what is right. That's what we would have men to do to us, what is right. And therefore, all things that are right are what we are to do to them. Now, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord has clearly, plainly set forth to us that which is right. Now, these are the things, the very things that we desire others to do to us. Back in Matthew 5, he said, agree with your adversary quickly. Be reconciled to him quickly. That's something we would have others do to us. When someone has wronged us, truly wronged us, it's my desire and yours, if we're honest, that they would be quick to be reconciled with us and to come to us and be reconciled. Even so, we ought to do the same to others. He said in Matthew 5 to turn away from that fleshly, lustful eye or hand that would have you to gender towards that which is causes division and putting away. We would have others to do that to us, to turn from that fleshly way, that lustful way of the flesh, and do that to us. So we do that to others. We would have men to be true to their word. He said, don't forswear yourself. We would have men to be honest with us so that when they said yes, we knew they meant yes. When they said no, we knew they meant no. And they didn't have to go around swearing and having to be held to everything they said. We would desire that from others. Even so, let us do that to others, to them. He said, don't demand an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We would have others to turn the other cheek toward us rather than dealing with us in justice, in what we deserve, an eye for an eye. We would have others turn the other cheek. We would have them to go beyond what we asked them to do. As he said, if somebody asks for a cloak or sues you for your cloak, give them something else. We would have others to do that to us. So, let's do that to others. We would have those who consider us an enemy to deal with us in love. And so, he says, do as to others as you would have them do to you. He said, speaking of almsgiving and prayer and seasons of mourning and fasting from our sin and our flesh in this world, he said, don't do those things to be seen of men. We would have others not to flaunt these things before us, to do these things for us to see them, to draw attention to themselves. So, let's don't do it to them. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth, so that you can cheerfully, willingly provide for your brethren in need. We would have others to do that for us. If we're found to be the one in need, we would have others to cheerfully, willingly provide for us because they know their treasure is in heaven. They know God will provide for them. And they seek His kingdom, His righteousness, His brethren, the welfare of the church. And so we would have others to deal with us that way, so we deal with others that way. So you see, throughout the whole sermon, He's taught us that which is right. And He tells us plainly. Now, in chapter 7, he started here, and he gives us two things that is most vital. And I think it's the key to doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's the key to the law and the prophets. He says, judge not. Put off that old man, that self-righteous, condemning, harsh, judging man. And put on the new man, that you might know how to restore your brethren, how to speak peaceably to them that are without, or to them that are cast down. And he says, and to ask God, your heavenly Father, ask him for wisdom for how we should do this to others. Ask him for wisdom to be gracious to us, to help us to speak truth and correct a brother with the gospel and with the truth of Christ. And also to ask God to raise him up, to raise him. We would have others do that to us, wouldn't we? And I say that these things strike me as the key, because in all of these things that we've heard our Lord say is right. If you're like me, you've gone through this series with me, and every time we begin to look at these things, the first thought in my mind is how far I've come short of doing these things. And so, in all these things, My chief desire for others to do to me is to not deal with me harshly, to not deal with me in strict judgment, to not deal with me in that condemning spirit, but to deal with me mercifully, with a forgiving spirit, with a loving spirit, with a long-suffering spirit, in grace and mercy. And to ask God how to deal with me, to ask God for wisdom to instruct me, to help me, to teach me, to ask God to raise me up from my fallen state. That's what I really would have others to do to me. And so he says to us, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Isn't this not the law and the prophets? To deal in forgiveness and mercy and grace and love, and to depend solely upon God the Father to raise up and to restore and to give knowledge and understanding. Is that not the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? In our text here, Matthew puts this word of judge not together with ask God. And if you read the commentaries, some of them are going to say, now these things don't go together. These are just bits and pieces put in here from various sermons and what have you. If you go back and carefully read Luke 6, Luke takes some of the things that Matthew records early on in this Sermon on the Mount and puts them all together right here with this very word of judge not and asking God and dealing with men as our master has dealt with us, of the heart speaking that which comes from a heart of grace and not from that condemning heart. He puts these all together. I want to show you a few scriptures in the Old Testament where the Lord puts these things together, this oppression and asking God. Let me show you this. Isaiah 1:15. This was the problem in Isaiah's day. This is the problem with all sinners by nature. We don't have this heart by nature. And this is the problem. We got a religious heart, but we don't have this heart. Watch. Isaiah 1:15. He said, and when ye spread forth your hands. They were praying to him, going through the motions of praying to him. He says, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Why not? Because your hands are full of blood. They weren't necessarily literally murderers, but they were murdering men in their hearts. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. He's talking about religious dealings with men, as well as their dealings with men outside of the temple. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, true judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. That is, plead the fatherless case. Plead for the widow. You're going to see this theme of fatherless and widow over and over through Scripture. And our Lord refers to those. This is the most utterly helpless individuals there are. It's an orphan and a widow. A true widow, according to the law, was somebody that had nobody to provide for them. They didn't have sons or daughters, cousins, uncles, aunts, anybody. They had nobody. And a true orphan was somebody that had nobody. That's who a sinner is without Christ. And that's what our Lord's teaching us throughout. Is this is how the whole message, brethren, is about how sinners are saved by God's grace, how they're brought to see Christ and trust Him and behold Him, and to have the Heavenly Father, to be brought into the bride of Christ, to the church, to be one with Christ and His people. Look over at Isaiah 58, verse 6. See this thing of prayer and this thing of casting ourselves on God for wisdom, for strength, for understanding, for grace, to hold forth Christ, the word of life, to declare the truth to brethren, to sinners, and depending on God to effect the results. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we've been dealing with throughout. This is the law and the prophets. Don't you try to fulfill the law. Don't you try to effect obedience. Cast yourself on God in prayer to do it and hold forth Him who has fulfilled it. You see, the Pharisees in the beginning, he said, any man that doesn't do these least of these commandments and teaches other men to break them, he won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees, who appeared to be doing all these things, forced others to do these things. And in forcing others to do these things, they themselves broke the spirit of the law, and they taught others to break it too. Because what the others, how the others were constrained to obey is how they would teach others to obey, by constraint, by yoke, by oppression. That's breaking the law. The law is spirit. That is, it's love and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. It's fulfilled in a believer through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit, the law of Spirit. That is, you can go to the letter of the law and do everything completely to the letter that the law states. But if you don't have this love of God in your heart that only God can give, and that deals in long-suffering and gentleness, that is made one with God, a reflection of the image of God and His character, we've broken the whole law. We've not fulfilled it. Watch now, Isaiah 58, 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Look down at verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Now look at one last scripture, Zechariah 7:9. I just want to drive this home to you, that this is not a new problem in the Lord's day. It's not a new problem in Paul's day or in our day. This has been the problem all along. Zechariah 7, verse 9. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Look down at verse 13. Therefore it has come to pass, that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, without this spirit, without this constraining love of God in our hearts, there's no fellowship with God. There's no union with God. There may be a form of godliness, but the power of God is missing. It's never been experienced, and it's never depended upon, therefore, to work in a fellow brother. Instead, it's yoking, putting forth of the finger, oppression. And that's not doing. You don't want others to do that to you because you've experienced grace. You know something about grace. You want others to deal with you graciously. And those who have had been dealt towards graciously by God want to deal with others the same way God's dealt with us. Now, our text back there says that this is the law and the prophets. That's what the Lord said. You remember at the very beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, he said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He said, there will not be one jot or tittle passed before all is fulfilled. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He tells us to be reconciled to our adversary quickly, lest he deliver us to the judge and we have to pay the uttermost farthing. Christ Jesus willingly took the offense that we are before God and delivered himself willingly to the judge, and he in his own body paid the uttermost farthing for us. That's our constraint. That's what causes us to want to be reconciled, because we see what Christ has done for us. He tells us it's better that one offender be cut off than that the whole body perish. And he's that one who was willingly cut off out of the land of the living to save the body of his elect. He tells us to let our yes be yes and our no, no. He's the covenant God gave to his people. He is the covenant. You listen to scholars get all about the covenant. Christ is the covenant. He's the testator. He's the testament. He's the mediator of the covenant. And he himself is the covenant. He is the yea and amen. He is the sure word. Where he is where his people shall be, because of what he accomplished. He says, rather than an eye for an eye, deal as your heavenly Father has dealt with you. How did he deal with you? We deserved an eye for an eye. We deserved a tooth for a tooth. But he came to where we are, and he gave his back to the smiters. He gave his face to them that plucked off the hairs of his beard. And he did this, brethren, reconciling us to God, that he might deal with us in free grace. He says, deal with your enemies as God dealt with you. We were enemies in our minds. We hated God. We couldn't stand God. We didn't want to have anything to do with God. And when as yet we were enemies, he laid down his life for us. He tells us to make ourselves of no reputation in doing what is right. Right deeds. Righteousness. In providing alms. In making intercession for brethren. In fasting from this world and this flesh and mourning our sin. He said, don't make a big show of it. This one who was equal with God came to this earth and did only that which is right and made no show of it, made himself of no reputation. If the Pharisees did what the Pharisees did, standing to be seen of men when they were nothing, Christ had every right to make himself of reputation. He is righteousness, and yet he made himself of no reputation. His treasure was his Father, and so he became poor that he might make us rich. He sought the kingdom of God. He sought God's righteousness. He's the manifestation, the declaration of the righteousness of God, how God can be just and justify hell-deserving sinners. And even now, in all our failings, in all our shortcomings, when we get puffed up in self-righteousness, when we don't turn to him in prayer as we ought, he still faithfully deals with us tenderly and graciously and turns us to him and brings us to his feet to ask him for mercy. He still deals with us that way. And so when he tells us not to condemn, but to ask God, it's the very heart of the golden rule. It's the very heart. He says, this is the law and the prophets. This is what I've been teaching you. This is the sum of everything I've been teaching you. Lay down your life. Lay down your wisdom, lay down your means, lay down your worldly constraints and those things that you think will affect obedience. Lay all that down and deny yourself in declaring who Christ is rather than trying to soft-pedal Christ to people and not declare who Christ is, that's not denying ourselves when we won't declare who Christ is boldly in the face of the enemy. Declare boldly who Christ is. Declare to every sinner who Christ is, what He's done, where He is now, what He's doing now, what He soon shall do. Declare Him. He's the only cure for care. He's the only one that's fulfilled this law. He's the only one that's going to present men spotless and holy and without blame before God in love. He's the only one who can come into the heart of a sinner and create this obedience effectively in the heart. He's the only one that can do it. And the whole of the law and the prophets is by turning to Him and asking Him to do this for sinners and doing the one thing He's given us to do, hold forth the word of life. We are doing unto others as we would have others do unto us. Isn't that what you... I love my pastors who have taught me and who have showed me Christ, who are the very instruments God has used for the reason I'm standing right here where I am. And you know why I love them? You know what Paul said? Highly esteem them for the gospel's sake, for the gospel they preach. That's why. Talk bad about one of them, you might as well be slapping my son, my own child. They're my flesh and blood. They're my brothers and sisters. But that's why you love them. That's because of what they did for you, what they'd have you do for them. That's what grace does. That's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's not exalting ourselves, condemning, guilting folks. It's being gracious, dealing with men graciously. Now I want to show you one more thing in Galatians. One more thing in Galatians. Galatians 5. Now go home today, or as soon as you can, and read Luke 6. Read Luke 6, and I'll tell you what scriptures specifically. Let me turn over here and see it. While you're turning to Galatians 5, read Luke 6, 27 through the end of the chapter. Luke 6, 27 through the end of the chapter. You see how Luke puts all the things our Lord's been saying in His Sermon on the Mount? They're all right together. All right, Galatians 5. Now, our Lord had said, this is the law and the prophets. He said, don't judge, don't condemn, don't try to force folks to do this. Cast yourself on God. Put off that old man, that old fleshly desire. And I'm telling you, brethren, I'm more and more convinced that that saying of the don't cat give you the holy things to dogs, don't cast your pearls before swine, he's talking, that's a proverbial saying. I come from the south in the country. You got sayings like, chickens always come home to roost. If I tell you ran wild all your life, you showed your kid by example how to do it, now your son's grown up and he's doing it, chickens always come home to roost. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It hits it home for you. It's a proverbial saying. He said, judge not. Don't be lifted up in self-righteous pride. There's a worse offense in you when you do that. And he says, now let me drive this home for you. Don't give the holy things to that dog and that swine of that old carnal flesh. Don't do it. Put the old man off. Seek God, ask God, and that put on the new man. Now watch this. Watch Paul. It almost seems like Paul's preaching from the exact text. Exact text. Listen. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. They were trying to, being told that you got to be circumcised, and they were being forced to do it, and they were trying to force others to do it. And he said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But if you bite and devour one another, if you give the holy things to that dog, that swine of your own flesh, put off that old man. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What happens if I stand up here and I start using these holy things, these precious pearls, to try to make you do something and condemn you and rebel against you. You might not say it out loud. You might not do it here, but you'll walk out of here saying, damn him for saying that to me. He's no better than I am. He don't have any right saying that to me. You condemn me with the same condemnation that I condemned you. We bite and devour one another. That's the sweat. That's the swine in the flesh. That's carnal religion. Now, I know our Lord, you've heard the common interpretation that you don't throw those pearls to folk when folks make it clear, as the Lord said, that they hate the gospel. They hate God. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Leave them alone. And he means that. But read Luke 6. Listen to what Paul says here. This I say then. This is what our Lord's getting at. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of that flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Look down at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the law. Here's the law, that Spirit. This is the law written on the heart of the believer. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the law of liberty. This is the rule of liberty. There's no law against this. Now look at Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law is that? It's what we just looked at. Love, gentleness, long-suffering. It's the law in the prophets. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But look at verse 3. What if we deal harshly with others instead of asking God? What if we look to ourselves instead of Christ our wisdom? What if we take matters into our own hands and try to make somebody... If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. In other words, what did the Lord say? First cast out the beam out of your own eye. How do you do that? Ask God. Go to God and ask Him to make Christ your wisdom. Ask Him to take away that fleshly old self-righteous man, and to give you grace, and to give you wisdom, and to give you knowledge and understanding to speak a word of grace in season. Then shall you have rejoicing in yourself alone, rather than going around trying to make somebody else do something and say, now look what I made him do. Rejoicing in what you made somebody else do. And this is how James put the same, he said the same thing. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion's vain. He's talking about the same thing, same exact thing. But he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Here we go back to that fatherless and those widows. Visit them in their affliction. Visit them. And to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Isn't that what we would have others to do to us? Watch this now. He said, visit them in their affliction. Those helpless, the most utterly helpless, poor sinners there are. Visit them in grace and love and gentleness and kindness and mercy. Just as Christ came to you in that situation. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now look back at our text, Matthew 7. Our Lord gives us these two things. James is, he's preaching what the Lord said. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. When you're poor and you're fatherless and you're a widow, you're the poorest sinner there is because of your sin and your rebellion and what you are in your flesh. You desire for somebody to come to you with words of grace, words of comfort. He said that's pure religion. And he said, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Look at the next word our Lord said. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is that gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the spot of the world. It's wide. There's a lot of folks going that way. Keep yourself unspotted from that. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Go to Christ. Ask God to make Christ our wisdom. To give us grace and understanding to know how to speak a word in season and out of season. I read somebody this week, I can't remember who it was, said there's only two times you ought to speak Christ to folks. That's in season and out of season. That's what our Lord's teaching us. This is the law and the prophets. Not to take the law into your hand. Trust Christ who fulfilled it. And not to take the law into your hands to make others obedient. Trust Christ who made you obedient. Ask him to do for you what he did for others, and hold forth Christ and declare what he's done. And he says, and I'll call out my people. I'll make them obedient. This is the law and the prophets. This is doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. It's grace and love. Grace and love. All right.